Hello and welcome to the Navy Blue Corner. I'm Ian, joined as always by my good mate Lockie. And what a week it's been. The Blues have been the talk of the town after a massive win over GWS with easily our best performance of the season. Lockie, mate, how are you going and how are you enjoying the week?
How can you be down after a game like that, right? We're up and about. What are we, flag favourites? Is that what everybody's saying? Everybody
sure,
on the bandwagon, jump aboard.
It's about time someone joined us, Lockie. It is nice to see. But look, there's plenty to talk about as we build up and preview our round 7 clash against Geelong. So let's get right into it. We're starting with Navy Noise, and we're trying to streamline this a little bit. If you have noticed, we're still doing a bit of the review of the previous week, but you can find that on our own YouTube channel, Navy Blue Corner. Links will be in the description and show notes if you're watching on YouTube. And wherever you get your podcasts, both of these will be in the exact same spot. So you probably haven't missed anything there, but this is going to be a bit more of that preview show and talking about those big moments of the week. And Navy Noise is where we do that. So let's talk about it, Lockie. Let's talk about our upcoming run of games. And really, the chat has been on, are we a contender? Who are the contenders? So let's have a bit of a comparison as well.
I love it.
So I'll start with a bit of reflection because we both said our last three games, Freo, Adelaide, and GWS, that our prediction and what we said as pass mark, we wanted to be 3-0, but at worst case, you can cop 2-1. We ended up being 2-1. Lockie, are you happy with that result?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the whole point of the pass mark exercise. You've now triggered me back to the start of the season where I'm not sure if my dad will be listening because he often does, but shout out if he is. He said before the Brisbane game, he wanted to be 1-1 after Brisbane and Richmond. And then straight after the Brisbane game, he goes, well, I take that back now. I would only take 2-0 now. It's like, that's the whole point of the pass mark is if you say 2-1 and we lose to a team that we think we'll beat and beat a team that we don't think we will, that's a win. So I'm gonna stay here and say that I'm happy with the 2-1.
Yeah, consensus enough. Yes, no, I agree. It is that thing that you just touched on though, where because we were able to get that win over GWS, it does make you really want that Adelaide one back. We were so close to doing it.
Makes sense.
Are the fine margins, and we've been able to do enough by banking those early wins that you can't afford to lose one. You probably should have one. It's going to be a long season, so don't worry about that. So let's take a look at our next three big games. I'm doing this in installments of three. Maybe it should be four. Let me know with a bit of feedback, but I like the three to start with. It's a nice little taste rather than going the full course meal. So the three we've got coming up are obviously Geelong this week, Collingwood, then Melbourne. What's the pass mark for you, Lockie? And I want to know from those watching right now, what's your pass mark? Drop it in the comments right now on YouTube and let us know on the socials at Navy Blue Corner, because this is the thing we get to reflect on in a few weeks.
It's a really good question. Like, it's been talked about that this is going to be a challenging run, and I agree. I think I have the same perspective as before. I think if we come out of this 2-1, I won't feel too differently about which one is which. Obviously, it changes the way that the wins and the loss happen. But I think looking at these teams, they're all. I wouldn't blame you for putting any of them in the contender bucket. Would that be fair to say?
I agree. And we will touch on, don't you worry, that is literally my next question after this. We're going to go through who we think are the contenders and then see exactly how we kind of match up and compare to them. And yeah, I think those are clearly all in the conversation.
Yeah, I think so. But Geelong would be the one out of the three that I think we most likely should win. That, you know, the ladder doesn't speak to that, as some people seem to get caught up a lot more in the ladder than others. But yeah, I think 2-1 for me, if we're sitting here in 3 weeks, I'll take it. That's a pass.
Yeah. I agree. Obviously, we're sitting here, we want 3-0, but we're trying to be a bit more level-headed and realistic in the what is the actual pass mark here that at the end of the day, you can kind of come back to it and say, that's fair enough. That is absolutely fine. Tick that off. And I'm the same. I reckon 2-1 is that it's very doable. 3-0 is still something that can definitely happen. Weirdly, I want to have this slight conversation in, like, I could be okay, and I do need to preface this, with going 1-2 from these three because of the quality of the opposition, because we've allowed banking those early wins and the injuries that we've kind of got at the moment, working a few things out as we develop. It wouldn't be the absolute worst thing. However, given after those three games to look even further ahead, we then have Sydney away, Gold Coast home, Port away, Essendon, then Geelong again. It really means that we just can't drop many of those games when kind of looking at those sort of three or four game runs. If you lose too many in this one, it just doesn't afford you the leniency going forward, where if that is to happen and we're reviewing, you know, Sydney, Gold Coast, Port, I'm saying we've got to win all three of those now because we've dropped too many. So it's an interesting thing. How would you feel about only getting one from those three? Would it be a disaster for you, Lockie?
When you step back and say that our ambition was to be top four this season and get the double chance, and then say that we would be 6-3 in that scenario, I think there's pretty good logic to say that we would be on track in that regard. So, I mean, and it's so hard as well when it's so black and white in this way. Like a couple of one-point losses to Collingwood and Melbourne, plus us absolutely dominating Geelong this weekend, has a very different flavour to, you know, something a lot more negative. So I can see a world where I'm content with that.
Yeah, and clearly so much can change week to week. We saw it in the week just gone, the loss to Adelaide. Gee, things aren't looking good. Maybe we aren't. No. Is it the start of a rut or was it just a blip? And then you come out and absolutely pants GWS in the best performance of the season. So it's all about if you are losing these games, can you learn from it? Can you grow? But now that we are 5-1, performing quite well and showing our best footy, Lockie, who are the current contenders for the flag? And how do we compare against those? And I do need to know, I do need to follow up on this because any good interviewer needs to be able to follow up on things. And I wrote down here that you're not high on Geelong. I don't necessarily completely disagree, but I do want to hear your reasons for that because as we stand, a lot of people would probably have them in their top three, I would say.
I'd be pretty comfortable not having them in my top three. I think it would be based on a few different factors, like obviously what they put out there last year. They're not a super different team to a team that wasn't too impressive last year. Obviously, you can then make the argument that won the flag the year before, but just taking last year into account, their opposition this year has not been great. You could argue that Brisbane, their win against Brisbane on the weekend, is their only win against a likely top eight team. And that was, I didn't watch the whole game, but it looked like extremely outlier conditions that they were playing in. I'm happy to not put them in my top three.
Yeah, I'd say at the moment, it's definitely difficult to rank them because we just haven't seen a lot of football so far, and how many of these teams have played those high quality oppositions? It's almost insane that this run we're about to go on, we play all those kind of top eight teams as things stand, all the people you believe would be contenders. And is that going to be more difficult for us simply because playing those back to back mean you don't get that break of kind of having a bit more of an easier opposition? I don't know. Time's going to tell. The teams I'm going to stand out right now would be Sydney. I believe that they're playing some great football and got a really good list. GWS are the other. And then to kind of tail it out from that, because I kind of have Sydney, GWS and us as that kind of top three right now.
Sure.
And there's a slight gap between the next, which I'd have at Collingwood and Geelong. I think Geelong, they're still incredibly well coached, well set up defensively. They've got the weapons that we'll talk about in this sort of build-up episode in the Cameron Hawkins, Stengel. They got guys that can kick goals. They do defend well. What's probably letting them down is their midfield. I don't think that there's the weapons in there that are going to get it done for a long season right now. I think they're kind of, I think they'll finish top eight, but they probably won't go all the way. And then Collingwood's that interesting team where haven't started amazingly, got their mojo back a little bit in that Port game, but weren't perfect for the whole contest. It looked in that first half as if, you know, it was the same Collingwood we saw at the start of the season. So they probably haven't been as consistent. But, you know, it's a long season. Things can change. And yeah, then it's an even bigger gap at the moment. Melbourne are probably the only other team I can see jumping into this, but I just have so many other question marks on them right now, particularly with their forward line and who's kicking goals. And then, yeah, I guess your Port, Brisbane and Dogs, I just kind of, I've got an itch to see way more before they're even entering that conversation. So who are those top ones for you?
Yeah.
And where are we in that discussion?
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty aligned. Maybe I'm a bit higher on the Pies than you, and maybe a little bit not as high on Sydney. Honestly, yeah, if I would probably put, I can't separate to say clear winner out of us, the Giants and Collingwood. Mm. Honestly, at this stage for me, I try not get too caught up in just what we've seen wins and loss wise.
Yeah.
You know, in the first six games of the season, which it's hard to do when the ladder is, you know, quite an objective thing in determining the season. But like the Giants have been amazing, apart from slipping up against us. Mm. Collingwood started slowly, which we often see from teams that won a flag. And I think they've been really good since then. And we're the best of the lot.
Mm. No, yeah, I have us in the top four best teams at the moment. I have us probably third right now as things stand, because we're able to show it against a team like GWS, but we still have so much to prove. And I'm definitely not getting carried away in this conversation at all. It's just good to, I guess, be able to have it and say that there's evidence supporting us, particularly in the wider AFL community. A lot are agreeing that, yeah, we're one of those that can definitely do it. It isn't some pipe dream. We're well and truly amongst them. And it's going to be interesting after this next month, revisiting this and seeing where clubs are, because I reckon it's going to be tight. I would add Collingwood to that. They continue the form at the moment into that top four. And yeah, how can we split them? Hopefully we can win some games to do so. But let's jump in to Grill the Corner. We're going to try and make this episode here on Blue Abroad a lot more listener question focused and putting us in the hot seat to do so. We chuck out every single week the questions on the Instagram, on the Twitter. Lockie finds some amazing ones for us. And if you do have any questions and you're watching live right now on Blue Abroad, chuck them in the comments. These are obviously pre-recorded, but I'll be in there to try and answer as best as possible anything that doesn't get answered. If you just want to know, again, just social media, whether it's us individually or the podcast itself, just tweet at us, send us a DM. Always happy to have a chat. But Lockie, what are the big burning questions this week that put us on the grill?
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to grill about this one, because we allowed a little bit of fence sitting on our show on our own channel this week. But the biggest thing coming in is about the two rucks and Pitt.
Yes.
So I'll read a couple of these out to put some names out there. So David Madden asked, is Pitternet a lock for the rest of the year? Our good mate Pommy, two rucks, how do they sustain it? Is this a game by game, or is it a pure system for every game? I like how he's put that. And yeah, as well as Tom asked, are you both sold on two rucks every week now? So off the fence, Ian.
I'll try my best. I feel like my answer is going to be fence sitting. So feel free to really call me out on it and make me have to answer it. Because on the review show this week on the Navy Blue Corner, we kind of alluded to the fact that you can be really reactive last week and say, that was the worst the rucks have looked. Don't do it again. This week it's the best it's ever looked, and it's locked in for life. I'm trying to look at it rationally and say I need a bigger sample size before I'm 100% locked on the two rucks being what we go from here on out. I need to see different ruck combinations as far as who we're coming up against, because look, Briggs isn't amazing. He's fine. When we come up against a Max Gawn, is that what's going to make things a little bit different for us, where you're going against one of the best ruckmen in the competition. Those are the challenges that will happen. Right now, seeing that it finally has worked, I'm locked in for the foreseeable future, getting that sample size so we can make a proper decision. So for the next month, I want to see it happen. And as far as how we can sustain this, I mean, that's going to be the most difficult question. It's about getting as much as the best parts of the two rucks that we got this week and maneuvering different ways to do so. And that's how can we get Pitto more involved around the ground? How is he able to take more marks that we saw this week? The three marks, two contested. How can we get more space in that forward line so De Koning can be another threat, be that third tall and not get wasted and run over the top like we saw in the Adelaide game? A lot of that for me comes from almost everyone else. We need that pressure up. We need the team defense to be there because when it is, it works. And weirdly, I think we're all forgetting that for the back end of last year, what got us to a prelim, a sniff away from a grand final, was the two ruck combination. This isn't something new. It's been there the whole time. We saw it work against Melbourne in a final where De Koning bobs up. So, yeah. Lock in for now, but let's not overreact either way is where I'm trying to see things.
I absolutely love that, mate. You nailed that answer. The only thing that I'll probably add as well is I want to be consistent in how I apply my methods to things here. And so someone like Fantasia, for example, I've been quite, I think, lenient on him and saying that, you know, he's coming into a new system and we need to give him time before we make decisions about things. This is just another example of it for me. Like TDK, like we weren't happy with the performances last week. TDK went from being the sole ruck for the start of the season into being the second guy. Pitt was coming back into all of this change. So it wasn't good then. It was good this week. Let's give it some time before we make too many decisions on it.
No, I love that. And look at just collectively how we played as a team last season. I think we do need to give things time and maybe on individual players.
Absolutely.
We just need to give them three or so games to really prove it and not comment on it, but let's not completely judge everything just off one game. Lockie, I love it. What other questions do we have?
Got a good comment here from Tom V. They said, thought our lesser lights were huge in the third term. And Cottrell is the Red Cyril. Thoughts on that nickname? And any love for the Red Cyril from you?
Oh, I thought Cottrell was incredible. It's an interesting nickname. I don't mind it. I think that's pretty good. I'm sure this man can get an incredible amount of nicknames. He's so meme-worthy, but yeah, he's that kind of player that we really need to get involved a lot more. And when you lose guys like a Jack Martin, Fogarty, and Cunningham around that sort of run and connection, that mid-forward connection, you need guys to step up. And Cottrell, what he was able to do, Elijah Hollins, I absolutely love it. I'm so excited by that. It's about getting them more involved because we need to be entering the ball better inside 50. And if we can get those guys around it, I think we're going to see a massive amount of improvements because Matty Cottrell, it seemed throughout that game that whenever that man touched the ball, we were kicking a goal off the back of it. Incredibly impressive.
Literally. I'm excited about these final two questions for this segment. I'm looking forward to hearing your answers. This one is from Tim Gigantor, who often chucks a question in, so thank you very much for that. Will Cripps and Walsh take too many Brownlow votes off each other for either to be competitive this year? Great question.
Ooh, that is a good question.
Have you thought about Brownlow chances at all this year?
I haven't, to be honest, because I was on Sam Walsh, and then as soon as he got injured, I went, oh, no, there goes that. But then he's come back, and he could well and truly have the six from two games.
He very much could.
Incredible. Look, they may take the votes off each other. It tends to happen when teams have quite a lot of stars running through them. Weirdly, and maybe this is a crap answer, again, feel free to call me out on it. I'm keen to get some opinions. A few years ago, the Brownlow, the Coleman, all Australians, I really wanted that for, and I still do to an extent, just for the individual player and just their own success. But, mate, if none of our players ever won an individual award for the next 30 years, but we won some flags, I wouldn't care. So, yeah, as long as they're playing good footy and taking votes off each other, it probably means we're winning games. So go for it. But, yeah, it might make it tough in the end to take home the Chaz.
That is a fantastic reflection. I could not agree more. And also, I think if you said that to me 3 years ago, I'd be like, you're crazy. I'm always going to care so much about those things. And I'm so with you. So that's a great reflection.
It helps that Rick has one under his belt. That probably makes me less inclined. Give one to Walshy this year. Why not?
Three Colemans in a row. You know, we win everything. I'm excited to see where you go with this one. These are the questions I like to see in this segment. I'm not sure where you want to take it. Is there a chance that AFL coaches know more than the media and fans?
That's an absolute ripper.
It's a tough question to get on the spot.
No, I mean, look.
But it's something that go ahead.
Yes, clearly. And that's something I do try to be very conscious of in the discussion pieces that we give around this. And I feel we're quite good at it in saying, look, we're not AFL coaches, we're clearly not AFL players. We've never been that high as footballers. So there's a massive degree of knowledge that we're never going to get, but we're also not necessarily trying to act like we are. We're simply fans giving a bit of a perspective and trying to have conversations that we're probably not seeing in the media. That's, I guess, where I see our kind of role in this. And it's fun to see us get proven wrong for certain things where we maybe all said, look, the two rucks last week, which I assume is that key point driving that question.
I would say
We'd all say, hey, don't play Pitt this week. You play him and it works out to be the best thing of all time. Yeah, there's going to be times that you do just have to back in the coach. And it's why I feel I'm evolving as a fan, as someone that sort of comments on these things where maybe last year, 2 years ago, that team selection happens. I disagree with it and I'm up in arms. There's a big social media meltdown that, oh my God, what are we doing? Why isn't this guy playing? Why are we selecting player X? Whereas even this week, I didn't necessarily want Pitto to start based off what we saw. But when the team was announced, it was immediately back him in. They've got a plan. Yeah. I want to see it before I judge. So it's interesting. I think it's clear that they do know more than us. Doesn't mean we can't question things, but maybe we just need to slightly evaluate how we comment on things and just let things play out before we need to overreact.
I like that. I think we've both grown in that regard over the time that we've done the podcast in that way. Like sometimes I feel like I have to caveat myself when I talk on a topic like maybe in the next segment we'd
Andrew
ask,
Russell.
yeah, sure. Like we'd say, you know, would you risk playing McGovern this week, even if maybe he's a week early or something like that? And I have to caveat myself and say, like, I'm going to give my perspective here.
Yeah.
I know so little on this. Whereas there's other things that we can have opinions on where, you know, maybe, you know, like who the coaches think are the contenders this year. Or maybe, maybe we have the same level of knowledge on that.
And I think that's kind of where I feel like the fan media excels and where the actual mainstream media falters in these discussion points where we aren't just having them for a clickbait sense of what's the big story we can create this week and talk about.
Yeah.
We do try to be a little bit more objective, look at all sides of it. We have a bit more time to do so. So in these, if we're complaining about the injuries and giving a perspective on something, we're not privy to all the information. We're at least trying to discuss all the potential outcomes, but and then off that, trying to come to a conclusion, but reiterating that there's multiple avenues that could be the actual truth. So, no, I love that question. Send more of those in every single week at Navy Blue Corner because it's honestly one of my favorite parts of this, and it's why we're going to try and make it a bit more of a focal point going forward every single week. But as we're moving on, We're going towards the big preview of this, the blueprint to victory. Lockie, we're playing Geelong. They are playing some great footy. We've come off a big win. What do you want to see this week?
Oh, my word. I just want to start by saying, like, it's a funny way that football works, I feel, like, where we lost to Adelaide when they hadn't won a game. And it kind of felt like the perfect storm of things happening for them. And it felt like the worst week to kind of get Adelaide. I feel like now, I feel like we kind of got the Giants at a really good week. And I also feel like we're getting the Cats at a good week. This feels like a good time to play them. 6-0, coming off a slog up there in Brisbane. I'm feeling really confident that we can put in a good performance here. And I'm actually surprised to see that we're underdogs. In terms of what I want to see, I mean, we've talked about it in depth on our review show, but the forward line synergy, I'm not going to even say it can be as good as the Giants game, but if we see something around that regard, I'd be super happy. Getting the ball into the forward line smartly, guys leading into the right ways, not getting into each other's way. Goal kicking spread. Wow, if we see all those things, I think we'll get over the line.
Oh, no, those are very similar to the points I have. And I'd love that you did touch on, I guess, getting teams at the right time. There is that element of, Adelaide, all the pressure was on them. And then, you know, this week, the week just gone, you know, they do have a bit of an injury as well. Finally, that happens to us. I know we've got so many injuries right now, so it feels good to come up against someone else when they're not 100% fully healthy. And it kind of happens again this week. Geelong playing some good footy. Tom Stewart won't be out there. So that kind of plays into our hands slightly. We can exploit something for once, because I know they'll be talking about a few of the players we have out. But yeah, what I want to see, I want to see the two rucks working, so we aren't back here having the same discussions we had after the Adelaide game. Doesn't have to be as good. No one is saying they need to do that every single week, but more towards that than the other ends. And yeah, I want that same impact from the front half players, the Cottrell, Hollands, Durden, etc.
Love
their involvement. Loved the scoring chains and how we were using them. Very underrated games from Cottrell and Hollands in particular that the mainstream probably won't talk about at all. And then that last one is really just that stronger in defending the ground. It's that other area I think we do need to improve on to an extent. I know personnel is probably what's causing a lot of the issues in how we are doing that currently, but Geelong, they're fourth for inside 50s in the competition, fifth for marks inside 50. We know they've got weapons in there as well. They create a lot of good looks in front of goal, and they've got the guys that can put them through the big stick. So that's the kind of area that we need to be very on top of, just to quell their kind of influence on the game.
Yep, I like it a lot.
Beautiful. So let's move to team selection. If you're watching on YouTube, drop it in the comments. What are your team changes this week, or are you keeping the same team for the first time this year? Very keen to know all of your thoughts. If you're listening in podcast form, at Navy Blue Corner on the socials. Lockie, at the moment, the injury list has dropped. Williams, with his sort of knock to his Achilles, is a test to play. Wietering with his corky is a test. Doesn't look like anyone's going to be back this week that was injured.
No.
Looks like they're all, most of them are kind of a couple of weeks away. Might even get them back next week if we're lucky, which is a positive thing to see. But, you know, anything could happen. Let's not worry about that until they line up. But looking at this week, Lockie, what are your team changes?
I'll be keeping it pretty simple this week. I think, like, obviously, fingers crossed that the two guys with a test come up. I think that will create some issues that I do not want to deal with if Wietering in particular can't play. So assuming that they're both tested well and come through fit, I'd personally just be switching Fantasia and Carroll as the sub to give Carroll a full game. Fantasia's probably been was the biggest underperformer for me this week. But there wouldn't be anyone necessarily knocking the door down enough for me to drop him at this stage.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I probably disagree on the Fantasia thing. I tried to watch him a little bit closer when I was watching this game back, and I get it, and he's still probably not playing to the standard that we're after, but I noticed that he's kind of playing a bit of a different role, and maybe this, to your point, maybe someone else can play this role better than him, but he's so high up the ground, often found himself in the sort of defense for us, and he seemed to be that kind of high half forward, almost pushing onto the wing at stages, and there was a bit of selfless running that I was enjoying seeing for him, creating space, trying to be a bit of a link throughout. And so I liked aspects of that, liked his cleanliness, and I kind of weirdly, now that I've noticed it, I do want to see one more week of it. Maybe like we've seen with an Ollie Hollins, where we know there's a role for him. It wasn't maybe the working the best output-wise, but we know it was eventually going to arise. This week he had his best game for the season. I'm hoping that can happen for Orazio. So I'm keeping him in this week because I liked how the forward line gelled. My only changes is basically it's tough. And it goes to what you said earlier about maybe not having the knowledge on this, but Williams, I'm just, no, son.
Yeah.
Don't worry, even if you're ready to go.
I had that thought too.
You've had so many of those little niggles, particularly around the Achilles, the calves. I don't care if he's 100% fit. I'm just bringing in Chincotta this week to just wrap him in cotton wool, given Adam Sarge's injury as well. And then I would say managing Carroll in the sense that it's not a drop necessarily for poor performance. It's more, I can't get him into the starting lineup, and he's been the sub a few weeks in a row. He has had quite a bit of game time from those because of the early sub injuries. I just want him to get better continuity, better time to just in the VFL, get a full game, continue developing and improving, get the confidence of a full game. That's really the only reason I'm doing it. And I'm going to reward Bins for a bit of a sub debut, which isn't the ideal way to debut, but I don't know. I think we need to reward him at some stage for his performances and consistency in the VFL. He's versatile, can play half forward, can play on the wing, move other guys around there. So yeah, it's more just I want to give Carroll a full game somewhere. But yeah, very similar to you.
No, very good. They were all thoughts that went through my head as well. And Chincotta would definitely be my guy to bring in, were they to rest Williams, which honestly, I think is most likely. I think if I was a betting man, Wiedering will play and Williams won't, based on nothing.
Yeah. Oh, but
there's
100%.
My unsolicited 2 cents.
Touch wood, obviously, as always, for these kind of things. But if Wiedering got through last week's game, not being able to move, you're not stopping him playing this week. He's going to be absolutely fine. So the last kind of thing that we touch on every single week is that what do we need to overcome that will lead us to victory? Yeah. I know this is a segment that I tend to absolutely rapid fire through a few things, but I guess, Lockie, to put it out to you, and obviously those that are watching and listening along, is there one key thing that you're saying that this is kind of that key to victory?
I mean, I've already talked about in this episode. I'm going to let you do your rapid fire and just say that it is the forward line for me. I thought about our midfield. I'm really confident in a strong midfield performance. Our defense, even though we're undermanned, we stood up really well against the Giants last week, so I'm confident there. Forward connection. If that's not working, I don't think we're going to win.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to work.
No, absolutely love it. So, yeah, my points, they're very simple. So I'll try and be very succinct with them. First one is just limit the inside 50s. As I said earlier, they're fourth for inside 50s, Geelong. We're seventh. They're fifth for marks inside 50. We're ninth. So I've improved in that a little bit, but I just don't want to give them easy looks because they got, I'll start listening, mate. They've got Cameron, Hawkins, Stengel, Close, Holmes, Dempsey, Henry, crafty guys inside 50 that always seem to bob up and kick one or two every single week. So they can cause us trouble because of that. If you shut one down, the other is going to take over. So we've got to be really strong with that. And linking that is obviously, we're just going to have pressure around the ground and work hard to stifle their clearances, particularly around stoppages. They're third in the comp for stoppage clearances. We're 15th, which is interesting. We've kind of shown that our strength at the moment is center bounces. We're second for center clearances, they're 10th. So it's kind of interesting where we're better at the center clearances, they're better at the stoppage. So we just really need to match them around the ground. They're a bit more outside. So yeah, limit their strength by winning it from the source. It kind of works out well for us there. And the last one is really your main point, Lockie. It's we just have to use the ball smartly inside 50. Our entry and forward movement was so much better against the Giants. We got the ball in quick to the right areas, all the while creating space and targets inside 50. Geelong are one of the better defensively set up sides in the comp. They're one of the best coach sides with probably, I would say, the best coach going around right now. So we just can't make it easy for them.
Yeah.
No Tom Stewart. So let's exploit that to a degree like we were kind of able to last week without GWS having Sam Taylor. Use it to our advantage for once. And I guess going with the two rucks again, we've seen how bad things can go when there's no pressure, when you're clogging up the space and moving it really slowly. Overcome all those things. We will come away with the win. But, mate, I'm excited. We are 5-1.
I'm pumped.
We've bounced back. We've learned from things. We're in a really good place. We've got a tough run of fixtures, as we said. Is the pressure back on now that we're really talked about as the contenders? I want to see how we react to that on the field with a massive win against the Cats. We'll be back next week doing our review on our own YouTube channel, Navy Blue Corner. Will be in the links below in the show notes. So don't miss out on that if you want to get a bit more of an overview of us just talking about the game past. But obviously, we'll be back here every single Wednesday on Blue Abroad, 8 p.m. and wherever you get your podcasts, talking about the big hot topics every single week surrounding the Carlton Football Club and previewing the upcoming game. It's late again, Lockie. I do it every single time, but we've got some teas still available.
Ah.
If you want some Navy Blue Corner merch for season 2024, they're selling quick. People are enjoying them, and I'm trying to write some funny notes as well. So you're not just... the t-shirt. I'm trying to have a bit of creativity and fun with it as well. Maybe I'll even draw a couple of pictures. Send in your request with your orders in the notes if there's that available. And maybe I'll do something for you in that as a bit more incentive to purchase a tee. But yeah, head over to our Beer Cartel. Links in the show notes, links everywhere. Head over to the socials. That's all the plugs. Up the buddy baggers. See you guys next time.